listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Unprecedented is a descriptor we hear almost daily. And it may be a fair characterization of this election year with a pandemic, concerns about ballot fraud, multiple lawsuits over North Carolina ballot requirements, absentee voting, and whether it's safe to vote in person. To help us sort out what you need to know about voting in North Carolina this year, I'm joined by Ray Hunter Havens, Elections Director for New Hanover County. Ray Hunter Havens, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into some of the rumors that we've heard and what's fact and what's fiction, can you just take us through the steps of an absentee ballot? Tell us about the life of an absentee ballot. So I have it. I've filled it out. I've dropped it in the mail or dropped it at the post office. What happens next?
Once a voter has completed that process where they would have submitted the absentee request form, we've mailed them their absentee ballot. They then voted that ballot, arranged for a witness to help them complete the container return envelope, and either delivered it in person to our office or dropped it in the mail. When we get that ballot back, we then sort of begin the process of intake. So we will, barring any other exceptions, we record in our software that we received the ballot back. And we also look to make sure, sort of on the face of that envelope, have all the requirements been met? Is there a voter signature? Is there sufficient witness information? And did the witness sign? If we see those requirements met, we preliminary mark that ballot as accepted or okay in our system. Then as we continue to get other ballots back, we will then sort of do a similar determination. You know, there are right now certain conditions that, you know, if we get a ballot back and it's not sealed, that ballot should be spoiled. And we reissue a ballot to the voter and send them notification that that has happened. And we reach out using really any method of contact that we have. If we can get a number, we'll call them. If we have an email, we will email them. Right now, we are not taking any actions on other deficiencies due to some matters that are pending before the courts. You know, depending upon how that sort of how that guidance is then issued by the state board, we will then be able to act on those deficiencies either by marking them spoiled, reissuing them, or by presenting those deficiencies to the board. But at each absentee review meeting that the board's required to begin 5 Tuesdays before the election day, they actually review all of the envelopes or the absentee by mail applications that have been submitted by voters through that to that board meeting date. You know, if we say that they've met all the requirements, they will hand check a certain number. Obviously, due to the volume of absentee by mail voting, they can't physically put their hands on every single one, but we randomly present those to the board, and then they will, as a board, review those applications and approve them. Any deficiencies are also presented to the board for specific review. So they will touch those and look at those by category and decide, do they want to not approve those absentee ballot applications or do they want to approve them? And then once that happens, we will then complete all of the preparatory steps with those approved ballots. And that includes under the board supervision, we open the envelopes, we remove the ballot, we check to make sure the absentee number on the envelope is the same absentee number on the ballot. And then we will optically scan those absentee ballots on our central tabulator in our office. And we complete all of those ballots that were approved by the board at that absentee review meeting. And then we save that data so it can be counted on election day. The results themselves are not tabulated or counted before election day by statute. And then once that happens on election day, all of those ballots get tabulated and those results go live at 7:30 p.m. on election day. Any absentee ballots that we receive after sort of the Monday before election day would be reviewed at a supplemental absentee board meeting. And anything approved would also be tabulated and those would go in the canvas results once the board canvasses, and that would be on November 13th for this election.
Okay, so a lot of information there. I want to kind of go back to, you know, you talked about deficiencies. So let's talk about what people need to know in terms of properly voting an absentee ballot. There, you mentioned the lawsuits that have not worked their way through the court system yet regarding rules for absentee ballots. One of the major questions is what the witness requirements are for mail-in ballots. So what do you understand right now as the legal requirement for a witness on an absentee ballot?
Right now, for us to continue to, the witness requirement is that the witness would print their name, they give us an address or print their address on the absentee container return envelope, and they sign. Right now, those are the witness requirements. The matter right now before the courts, one of the issues is if any of that's deficient, what type of actions do we take on those deficiencies? So right now, we're continuing to process and document any return ballots that are have all those requirements. They have the voter signature, the printed witness name, the printed witness address, and the witness signature. If they have all those requirements, we're marking those preliminarily as approved and submitting those for formal approval to the board. So right now, those are the requirements for those absentee applications.
Only one witness is required for an
absentee ballot. Yes, there was a Sessions law change because previously it was either two witnesses or a notary. Because of COVID-19 and concerns about, you know, having access to more people, they reduced the witness requirement from two witnesses to one.
And it doesn't need to be a notary. Who can be a witness?
Anyone who's able to be a witness who is able to sort of help that person with it. The main prohibitions have to do with residents who are in assisted living facilities and things of that nature. An employee or director of that facility cannot serve as a witness.
So let's say I live in an assisted living facility. I live alone in an apartment. I don't have any family around. So if none of the employees can be a witness to my absentee ballot, how can I find a witness? How can I vote my ballot?
Right. All county boards of elections are required to have multi-partisan assistant teams. And these are teams at the County Board of Elections office that can go out to these facilities and help serve as either a witness or help them complete their absentee request forms so that they can get the ballots mailed to them. We are actively scheduling those visits now. One of our challenges due to, the pandemic is that there are some facilities that are on shutdown. So we're trying to work with those facilities to see what can we do to assist them. Do you know what I mean? How can we help those voters? Because our job as a board of elections is to help every eligible voter cast their ballot. You know, so that's what we're trying to do and kind of working with each administrator at the facilities to see what we can do to help those residents.
Is one of the options, for instance, to have a member of one of those teams go to a window and witness it through a window? I mean, what kinds of options are you looking at?
Typically, that something like that would work as long as you're able to communicate with them. You know, one of the things that the CDC was recommending is try to do things outside. You know, if you have to do things inside, we can use desk shields. The different things, obviously, the multi-partisan assistant team members would have gloves. They'd have face masks. We have face shields. You know, doing everything we can to make sure both the election staff and the residents are as safe as possible and still able to get the assistance they need.
You're listening to Coastline. My guest is New Hanover County Elections Director Ray Hunter-Havens. She's helping us sort out fact from fiction and what you need to know about voting this election year. Ray, at this point, we are hearing that more than 6,000 ballots are essentially in limbo in North Carolina because of the questions that you've already identified around what to do with some of the deficient ballots. Ballot problems have affected minority voters, though, at a higher rate than other people. For example, according to WNCN, Black voters make up about 16% of all returned ballots, but nearly 34% of ballots set aside for deficiencies, which include incomplete witness information. Is that something that you're seeing in New Hanover County?
That's one of those things that's difficult because, as I said, the sort of intake process that we use for those ballots is simply to look at the envelope and see with that application, does it have the requirements? And so if it doesn't, we follow the state board guidelines in terms of processing those deficiencies. We really don't pay attention to who the voters are or really typically look at that other statistical information. So, right now, I think we probably have maybe a couple of hundred absentee ballots that have been marked as deficient or we're just not taking action on in total. Through the last absentee review meeting, I think the boards approved approximately 12,000 absentee by mail ballots. We've received almost 34,000 absentee by mail requests. So at least for New Hanover County, it is a very small percentage, but nevertheless, you want to make sure that every eligible voter has been able to cast their ballot. So we're just like everyone else waiting to see what additional guidance we receive so we can move forward as quickly as possible to ensure that these voters have the opportunity to vote.
According to WECT's John Evans, most absentee ballots that have been cast from the 5-county area of southeastern North Carolina, which would include New Hanover County, so far are from registered Democratic voters. And he writes, it's important to note that voters can support candidates of any party in a general election, regardless of their registration. But are there typical trends, Ray Hunter Havens, that you see each election year in terms of the people who vote early and absentee and the people who vote on election day?
I think one of the trends that we've seen traditionally speaking, that you do see more voters who are affiliated with the Democratic Party voting early. That's not an uncommon pattern for us to see. I mean, I do think early voting in person continues to become more prevalent and popular. So with each presidential election, we see more and more people turning out early to vote. Traditionally, it's been the in-person one-stop voting. Of the 110,000, give or take, people who voted in the 2016 general election, over 70,000 of those voters voted in person at one of the one-stop sites, with approximately 4,000 folks using absentee by mail to vote, and the other voters voted at their polling place on election day. So we do tend to see more Democratic voters vote early at one of the early voting, at least in-person sites. And so we're certainly, since this is such an unusual election year for absentee by mail voting, I think folks are starting to pay more attention to any of those voter trends that we may be seeing as we kind of progress through this process.
So let's talk about then what the deadlines are for voters, because some of these can get confused in terms of registering to vote. You can register to vote by mail. Well, actually, that deadline has passed. That was October 9th. But people still have options if they're not registered to vote. So help us understand that.
Correct. The voter registration deadline is today. If folks are returning their in-person the in-person registration forms, they would need to be in our office by 5 p.m.
Ray, can I stop you? I just want to clarify, folks will be listening to this after October 9th. And so by the time they hear it, the register by mail option will have expired.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So
definitely,
by 5 p.m. October 9th.
Yeah. If they've missed the registration deadline, they still can complete the same day registration process at one of the one-stop sites, where they can actually present themselves at any of the 9 one-stop sites we have, register to vote, and vote at the same time. What they will need to do to satisfy that requirement is to show proof of residence when they present to vote. And that's something with a current name and a valid address on it, or a current address that they're using for their registration. The exception for that would be students who are on campus at UNCW. One of the options we have for them is to get a updated list from the registrar of all the students enrolled. And so they then can present at any of the one-stop sites and show their student ID card with their name on it and photo. And then we can link that with the information provided from the registrar, and they can use that to satisfy that proof of residence.
Okay, so what if a voter decides they're just not sure about all this absentee balloting stuff or early voting stuff, and they want to vote in person on election day? Are they going to be safe with coronavirus?
You know, we are taking all the precautions we can. We are having all of our election officials will be required to wear masks. They'll have gloves. We'll have desk shields fairly tall desk shields at every station, which even though the person is sitting down and the voter's standing, they're tall, so that it'll hopefully add a level of protection for both the election official and the voters. We have new positions. We have sanitation specialists who will be cleaning all of the high traffic areas throughout the entire day. We're also gonna be using single use items, such as pens. Everybody gets a free pen when they vote in person this time. If someone is voting curbside, we'll be using legal file folders that they'll put their ballot in, but that they won't have to share a clipboard with someone else or something else of that nature. Any voter that needs to use the ballot marking device, there'll be single use Q-tips that they can do to actually mark their selections on that, as opposed to using their finger. So we're taking every precaution we can to ensure both the safety of election officials, but voters as well.
And in terms of, we've heard concerns across the country about being able to find poll workers who perhaps don't fall into that over 65 category, which is a category of folks who are more vulnerable to COVID-19 and severe symptoms. What are you doing now in terms of the age of folks? Is there diversity in age?
We definitely, I think, have more diversity. We did a very early availability survey for our loyal election officials that service throughout most elections. And we did notice, like other counties, that there were a higher percentage that felt uncomfortable participating in this election. And so we had several election official recruitment initiatives that we sort of pushed out, and we had a wonderful response to that. We've been able to onboard over at least 600 to 700 new election officials for this election. Now, we're estimating we'll need over 600 election officials for Election Day and almost 450 election officials to help staff 9 one-stop sites for 17 days. So I think with that push, we definitely see more diversity, both in age, but other characteristics that will help make sure that we can meet all the skills needed at each site so that they can all sort of do everything that's needed to serve voters in that process of voting.
Will you have mask requirements for folks who come to vote on Election Day?
We are not able to require a voter to wear a mask. We will have masks available to give any voter. We will certainly encourage it. But per the North Carolina State Board of Elections, we cannot force a voter to wear a mask. Certainly I would say, if we look at in-person visitations into our offices, the majority of folks who come in to, engage with our office in person, they do have masks. So we're expecting the majority of voters to have masks. We certainly have masks available to give them if they don't, but we cannot force them to wear them.
Going back to mail-in ballots, we've heard all kinds of concerns from the President of the United States on down about the safety of mail-in ballots, about how likely they are to actually arrive at the Board of Elections, questions about the post office and the postal service. And then a story comes out earlier this week. WRAL reports about a group that works with campaigns to help increase voter registration. They accidentally mailed applications for these ballots with the wrong name, address, and date of birth to about 11,000 North Carolina residents. The firm is correcting the forms and remailing them. But at this point, what happens if someone mails in the incorrect form? And is there more reason for people to worry about whether their absentee ballot will actually count as a vote?
I think, it's important. There are a lot of third-party groups trying to provide various services to voters. Some have mailed out registration forms. Some have mailed out absentee request forms. I think there was a group that recently mailed out registration forms that had some incorrectly populated data. And so we would just encourage voters to look at what they're receiving, make sure the information's right. But if they're already registered, they don't need to feel like they need to redo that. We've had voters contact us saying, I've gotten additional absentee request forms in the mail, but I've already requested a ballot, voted my ballot, and returned it to you. So they just need to disregard those and just look at who is the organization that's sending that to you. Because unfortunately, if it's election related, they think it's coming from a county board of elections when in fact it's not. So just to look and see what you're receiving in the mail. Is it something that you need to act on? If it is an absentee request form and you want to do that, make sure it's not pre-populated. Absentee request forms cannot be populated. Voter registration forms can be, but you want to make sure if someone pre-populated some of it, that it's correct. And so just be very cautious of those things. And if they have any questions whatsoever, feel free to reach out to their County Board of Elections office. We are here to help them.
We've heard people say that, you know, absentee ballots have been dumped in rivers and, you know, they've been lost from the Postal Service and never made it to their boards of elections. What would you say to people who are concerned about whether dropping something in the mail is actually going to mean it gets to the County Board of Elections?
You know, I think, you know, there are different tools that voters can use to track the return of their absentee ballots. There is a new system on the State Board of Elections website, Ballot Tracks, that they can sign up for to receive notifications about where their ballot is in that return process. And so that is one option for voters to use. Another option is there's a voter tool function on the North Carolina State Board of Elections website that they can actually search for their name. And once their ballot has been received in our office and kind of preliminary marked as approved, then they would be able to see that we in fact have physical custody of that voted ballot now. So that's one option. If those things are more than folks can sort of process and they want a more traditional way, they certainly can call our office. And we're happy to answer any questions they have or give them an update on the status of their returned ballot.
So let's say I mailed in a ballot that did have what you would call a deficiency. There was something wrong with the witness signature, or the address wasn't there, or something. And I find this out. Are you going to mail me back a new ballot, or should I come into the Board of Elections to fix it? What can I do to make sure it gets done in time?
Well, right now we're really awaiting on guidance on what is that action. So previously, there was a CURE certification letter that we were allowed to mail voters that would satisfy that deficiency. And so we did mail some. Those letters could also be emailed. The voter could sign and return those to us. But right now, we're not certain of the status of that CURE certification process. So we're not taking actions on those or any of the CURE letters that we received back. One option, obviously, once we can take action on any deficiencies, is we could spoil the ballot and remail it to the voter. Another option, depending upon the guidance we get from the North Carolina State Board of Elections, would be to reach out to voters if we're concerned the deadline's getting too tight for them to return that ballot to us by mail successfully or even in person, to let them understand their other voting options, you know, the in-person option for early voting or the in-person election day voting option. So there's different things that voters can do, and there are different choices they'll have. We're just not exactly sure what those choices are right now due to the litigation regarding the CURE certification letter and the processing of deficiencies.
So let's say that my absentee ballot is deficient, and I know that. What would happen if I went to an early voting site and tried to vote in person or showed up on election day?
You can do that because right now you do not have a record of having voted. You know, you're kind of in that pending status. So if that is the case, then you can still vote in person during the one-stop voting period or on election day without any problem because you've not actually voted or cast that ballot yet.
So then do we have to worry about people voting twice? So then I vote early or I vote on election day and then my absentee ballot turns out to be okay for whatever reason. Is my vote going to get counted twice?
We have multiple safeguards in place to prevent double voting. So for instance, everyone who successfully cast absentee ballots, that information will show on the electronic poll books used during early voting. And it's updated every 30 minutes. Between one-stop voting and election day voting, all of the election day poll books are also updated with everyone who's cast either in-person votes during one-stop or absentee by mail ballots. And so there are multiple safeguards in place. And then we reconcile between election day and canvas. And if we see more than one record of voter history, that's something that would be flagged as well. So again, there's multiple safeguards in place to prevent that.
How likely are we to know what the results are by the night of November 3rd?
By November 3rd, we should have all, hopefully, again, pending what the litigation and what the courts kind of decide on, all of the absentee by mail ballots approved by the board and all of the one-stop votes for in-person early voting would show in the tabulation results on election night. And then as the chief judges bring back their data for election day voting, those results would be released live as well. So we definitely would have a good sense of unofficially what are the tabulation results, at least through election night.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Ray Hunter Havens, New Hanover County Elections Director, this was so helpful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks also to David Sink, Democratic candidate for North Carolina Senate District 8. One-stop voting begins October 15th. Election Day is November 3rd. Coastline's producer is Rachel Keith. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Andrew Craig engineered today's show. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.